Welcome to the City Confessions. I'm Marianne Yip, a native New Yorker, and I'm here to discuss all the thoughts that go through the minds of people living in New York City. Since I'm a native who was born and raised in the city that never sleeps, I come across people who are constantly in a rush. I would like to take a moment to sit down and talk about what's on their minds and what keeps them up at night. So sit back and let's dive into these confessions of people I know and people I just met. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to this week's episode of the City Confessions. Today, we are joined by Cindy Ramirez Fulton. She is the founder and CEO of Chill House, which is a wellness spa. I personally have tried most of your services and I love them. So I can't wait to talk to you and just to get into the story of how Chill House came about. So hi, Cindy, from Miami right now. Super jealous. How are you?
Reporting live from the MIA, the 305. I cannot complain. Life is kind of surreal lately because, you know, this is our first real winter in Miami as more full-time Miami residents these days. So it's definitely, it's been a treat. As a lifelong New Yorker, I feel like I deserve this winter.
Yeah. So talking about New York, I want to dive deeper into that. You say you're a New Yorker. So were you born and raised here?
I was born in Queens and I guess raised in Queens as well as Manhattan. I always like to say Manhattan was like my late teenage years is when I moved to the city. This is kind of like my third chapter in life. So we just decided that we would make a jump down to Miami, become full-time residents here. My kid is now enrolled in school, so you kind of have to choose a path. But we still keep a place like a crash for me. Definitely very much back and forth.
I love that. So why don't you introduce yourself to my listeners? Tell us who you are and what Chill House is all about.
Yeah, of course. So yes, I am Cindy, the founder of Chill House. Chill House originally actually started as a spa concept, but we've grown to be a very 360 brand offering all sorts of things outside of just physical services. During the pandemic, we created one of our best-selling products called Chill Tips. Those are modern nail art press-ons, all salon inspired. We've had a lot of those designs in our nail lookbook since day one of Chill House being around. So definitely very full circle story, being able to kind of take inspiration from our salon and bring it into kind of the product realm. We just recently, or last year was our first year going into heavy retail. So we launched in Target in 2023. This year we doubled our doors and doubled the amount of SKUs. So super exciting growth on the product end. And yeah, we're just really trying to bring Chill to the masses and make, you know, self-care just much more attainable and affordable.
I love that and congratulations. But we all know that when a business is born, it's not that easy. So walk me through the moment where you even came up with this idea of like, let me start this, you know, wellness spa. Like, how did that thought come into your head?
I think it was like a weird kind of, like a very serendipitous full circle moment that happened in a few different ways. The first thing being, I think I always was meant to own and run this business. My mother's an esthetician, so I grew up in the spa world. But her approach was much more clinical, much more results driven, less about the relaxation part of the spa world. So I think I always was like, oh, these services are just like, they're just not what I want personally. Like I want like a relaxing massage, and her space just wasn't that. And I think I was always trying to change what she had done and make it like more modern and more for like people my age and all that. So yes, that's one thing I think it was always kind of embedded in me from a young age that I wanted to take what I saw and adapt it to something that I wanted as a consumer. But it really wasn't until 2016 that it all sort of came into fruition. My husband at the time had already opened up a couple of bar concepts. So we were both like in the hospitality space for quite some time. And I was running a blog called Taste of Style, which was all about, you know, New York fashion and New York hospitality and kind of the intersection of the two. And was having a great time doing that, but I think I missed the physical aspect of like working in hospitality. I didn't really work at my husband's bars. I was just kind of like their support system. But I think I really missed the idea of having like a physical space to gather and to bring people together. And then it just all kind of hit me one day. It was one of those like aha moments after trying to get a massage and really looking at the spa industry in general and realizing that there was a huge gap right in the middle when it came to affordability, mm-hmm. price point, and also aspiration, like an aspirational environment. It felt like, you know, the settings were very, very far apart from one another. It was either like a luxury establishment or a kind of seedy establishment. There was nothing that sort of felt approachable. And like it could be an easy third space for women like myself, like New Yorkers, you know, overworked, overstimulated. Like, what was that third space for us? It wasn't just like a thing, you know, a place that you can go and like get work done, but also maybe pop in and get a manicure or mm-hmm. massage when you're done with work, right? Or when you just needed a break, you're like, ah. So that's what we created. And so we built the first space in 2017, and that was like a three-part sort of approach to self-care. First part being cafe, wellness, beverages, all that good stuff. Nail art. So having like a really beautiful nail art menu was a huge part of our DNA. And then massage and having an affordable price point with massages. And then it just sort of grew from there. We ended up leaving that space in 2020. And then we had opened up a much larger flagship in Soho in late 2019. And then of course the pandemic hit early 2020. And so all those, the products, everything sort of came as a result of that. But yeah, it was just a very much needed space at the time. And I think that's what really set us apart and like put us on the map, was just that it was a very refreshing concept at the moment.
No, I agree. And as somebody who has tried the services, like everything that you, I think, wanted, you've definitely hit it on the nail, because it definitely is a dirt place. And I did get this feeling of inviting and warmth and literally peace once you step in. But it wasn't intimidating, because I think some spas can be like that and almost like, do I belong here? Like maybe it's a little too fancy.
Too fancy, or you're like, oh my God, like what am I about to do? Spend like $300 on like on a service and just to feel guilty afterwards because I just blew my entire paycheck. Yeah, exactly. And self-care should not feel guilty. It shouldn't feel like it's for the 1%. It shouldn't feel like a luxury experience all the time. But we wanted it to feel as luxury as possible without it feeling unapproachable or intimidating in any way. So that's, for sure it was the goal. And I think we did nail it.
No, I love that. So I'm hearing about, you know, how you had this vision and it came to life, but walk me through like the struggles, because nobody talks about that, right? You hear about like, oh my God, I run a business, it's successful. And of course you want to celebrate your achievements. It's amazing. But was there a moment where like shit hit the fan? Like, tell me about a time when you guys maybe like hit rock bottom, or just enlighten us.
It's a constant game. It's never ending. You may feel like you're going to hit rock bottom tomorrow. But yes, we've had several. It's just been the constant roller coaster, peaks and valleys. You know, we started off kind of with this really aggressive concept, which was to have no walls in between these three different, very distinct, different services. And of course, we're met with backlash from the Department of Health because we had a cafe close to the nail area. And then of course, we were also dealing with a lot of noise complaints because the cafe was really loud and then the massage was right there. And it was just all like so much troubleshooting, I'd say, the first year. And then, you know, constant game of like fundraising not going well, running out of money. Are we going to make payroll? Like, how are we going to grow our inventory at Target when we have no money? It's been a constant game of chasing cash, I'd say. It's been one of like the hardest things that we've had to do as a company. But yeah, then there's also instances just like issues with customers, you know, like issues with getting product to a certain retailer on time and then dealing with like chargebacks. And all those fun things. It's kind of like a, how much time you got. I think I have to save all of the downfalls and those moments for my memoir one day, because I'm like scared to share too much, because I feel like we're still so in it, you know. It's very much like anything can go wrong, but everything's also going right at the same time, and I trust that the universe has my back, and we're kind of in the path that we're in, always supposed to be, we're always supposed to be in, right? Like I always look at COVID, although it was a terrible tragedy, and even for us, we definitely had some, like, you know, a lot of restraints due to it, or setbacks due to it. But for me, it was very much like a look on the brighter side of what ended up happening to our business, was that we were kind of put in this path of product. And, you know, I've always been the type of entrepreneur to kind of go against the norm, or go against, like, what, you know, maybe like traditional people would tell me to do, and just kind of follow my passion and follow, like, my heart. And it's for the first time I feel like I can say that I feel aligned with where the universe has sort of placed us, while also, like, that is what I want to also be doing, if that makes sense. You know, but anytime I've tried to test and do things like that, you know, I've also been met with a lot of issues. And so I'm trusting that this is the path forward. And so I'm excited, but yeah, it's constant.
I think it makes sense for you to have this kind of, like, a spiritual outlook, considering that your business revolves around wellness and self-care, because it makes it, like, authentic to how you run the business. Like, the way you're showing up in the world is also a reflection of how the business is kind of being received and perceived, which is a beautiful thing.
I hope so. I'm not, like, a super spiritual person, but again, I've always kind of tried to resist what... Actually, I've tried to resist what the universe has told me, because I'm just kind of like, follow my passion, follow my passion. Mm-hmm. And I think now I'm kind of like leaning into this path and being okay with it and accepting it. And like, this is it. And I'm very excited about it.
Yes, there's like such power in surrendering, because I'm definitely a control freak and I want to like literally manage everything. And of course, I learned that being a mom, you can't. Which is a perfect segue to motherhood, because you are now a mom of two and an entrepreneur. So, like, girl, how the hell do you do it? Like, do you have help? Like, let's be honest. Yes. Okay.
Yes, I will tell you.
Yes, tell me.
I'll be very honest. I have my amazing cousin who happens to also be our nanny. So I've been very lucky, I'd say, blessed in the, like, caretaker department, just because, you know, I have family that really, really cares. And it's not just, you know, like a nanny gig. It's like, it's her family too. And she cares for those kids like they're her own. But yeah, we have a really beautiful setup here in Miami. She has her family down here. So they're, you know, my kids now have like little cousins that they hang out with, like, after school or on the weekends. And yeah, she's very, very full time. Like, whatever hours I need her, she's kind of available. And my mom lives close by too, so that's really helpful. Without them, yeah, I don't know what I would do. Like, I wouldn't be able to do half the things I do. Mm-hmm. It's not easy. Your kids, you revolve your entire life around them at some point. You know, once they hit the age where they're walking, they're starting to go to daycare or school or whatever you put them in, like, it's their schedule is the priority. It's like yours isn't as much. So making sure you have the support system at home. You know, I still have guilt around like leaving them behind for too long. Like, I haven't really gone on a trip longer than like 2 days maybe without them around, like just on a solo trip. Mm-hmm. So that's something that I'm now trying to get past, because it's time. I'm not really breastfeeding as much anymore. I'm like down to like feeding maybe twice a day. So I don't feel like the baby really needs me as much, like, around the clock. So that's hopefully opening myself up to now being able to go to New York by myself, like, for a couple of days if I'm needed, or go on a little trip. I just actually booked a trip to Mexico City for my friend's baby shower. So yeah, I'm very excited. It's only like, it's literally only two nights, but like those,
that's, you know, all you moments, need.
That's all I need. Mm-hmm. Like, just, it's a quick reset and like some girl time is very important. So that's the stuff that I don't get to as much, but work, everything, I'm fully covered in that department.
Okay. And I'm glad you cleared that up, because I think a lot of times, you know, looking from just like the outside,
it might seem like, wow, like, how do they do it? And it's like, okay, let me just clarify that I do have help, which is how I'm able to manage both.
But I have an army.
and you should. But talking about balancing like career and motherhood, like how does that work out? Like, tell me about, I know every day looks different for you, but do you carve out like specific hours being a mom? And then for work, do you carve out specific days or like, and how do you,
I keep a very traditional kind of 9 to 5, 10 to 6 schedule with work. And I try to be very focused with those work hours when I'm, you know, in it. Obviously there are some situations, Hendrix has to go to soccer. Maybe I'll go with him sometimes, or like, we really like making it to T-ball and that's at 4 o'clock, but we make it happen because it's a really beautiful, you know, time in his life. And he's like really excited to be there. And like, we have friends there that, you know, parents that we've become friends with there. And it's only 1 hour out of the week, right? And we're allowed to make those decisions because we're the boss, and that's fine. So, you know, obviously keeping a really tight schedule with work where everyone knows that you're on the clock and you're available and accessible to them. But then also for your kids, really making sure you're there and you're mentally available during those times that it's just family time. So of course weekends and of course like mornings to me are very sacred, you know, waking up early with them and having breakfast with them and having coffee and taking my supplements and like, you know, breastfeeding and all those little normal kind of mundane tasks that are ritualistic at this point. Try to do family dinners maybe twice a week, try to do a solo dinner with my husband at least once a week. And then, you know, cook at home. Like we mix it up, but we try to be very balanced as far as not overbooking ourselves for evening things, right? Especially in Miami, it's so nice that we're not like super in the scene yet or in the mix. You know, we've been able to really say, not even say no, we like don't have that many invites to things. And like, we're just like, we're still kind of building our friend group out here, you know? So that's been really nice to have that time to do whatever we want at night. Whereas like in New York, it's constant. We have bars in New York. My husband owns 3 bars there. One in
East Village.
Boston. Well, we closed that one actually.
Oh, okay. That's the one I knew about.
We closed that one very recently. So we're at 3 right now in New York, but you know, they're all very busy and like all of our friends are always out and they always set us up, or, you know, so it's very nice to have a little bit of more like peaceful downtime here. So the balance actually feels great right now being in Miami. And I'm really into it. I love the idea of like going back to New York for like 2-3 days and just being crazy New Yorkers that are constant, you know, nonstop and having a little bit of that as well.
No, I love hearing that for you. So what has been the biggest lesson that motherhood has taught you?
Probably that shit's just going to go down and that like to not be anxious around it, know that things are just going to happen and be okay with that. And, not like necessarily wait for the shoe to drop, because that's something that I like towards the end of last year, I was starting to feel very, very anxious at this idea that like everything seems to be going really well. Like what's going to happen? Like, is something bad going to happen next year? And I started getting really worked up around this, you know, it's a fabricated thought, right? Like it's just this concept of like when things are going well, it's like, when's that moment that's going to happen, that's going to shift everything and change everything for us? So trying not to think that way, because it is a constant game of just regular life, and you're adding human lives that depend on you into your regular work, you know, everyday life. I think that's the biggest thing, is like not overthinking it, knowing that it's going to happen, but not seeking for it, not dwelling on it, not, you know, adding additional stress at the idea of it.
My follow-up was, what is the biggest lesson like being an entrepreneur has taught you? And I feel like what you just answered can somewhat be applied. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So would you say the same? Yeah.
Definitely. What's the biggest lesson though? I think I recently said something like, intuition plus data equals success. So as an entrepreneur, it's very much your intuition is going to be your guiding compass, right? Mm-hmm. For so long. Mm-hmm. But then once you have data, you have to listen to that data and you have to adapt it into the practices of your day-to-day, mm-hmm. you know, growth planning. And I think that's something that I didn't have that for so long. Like I didn't have data. I was just kind of going from the cuff, going with my intuition. And eventually I do have data and now I know how to really navigate growth because of that. So, you know, listen to that data, pay attention to it, act on it, build on it, ask for support. I mean, one of the biggest, most helpful things in my life lately has been this Slack channel, this like founders Slack channel that I have that I was invited to last year. It's a constant wealth of knowledge in there. So just finding your tribe, finding the people that you can lean on for questions, and also obviously offering support wherever you can, because this is the community is all about being able to give as much as you receive. So I'd say those are the biggest things. A little different than the kid question, but you know, yeah, same thing. Like things are going to happen. You can't avoid it.
So we are wrapping up and my podcast is called The City Confessions. So okay. I would love to hear, Cindy, if you can share a confession with all of us, what would that be? And people always get stumped on this question, but it's however you receive it. And there's no right or wrong, but maybe some questions could help you to think about the answer. Is like, what do you think is like a misconception people have of you, or like an insecurity or vulnerability that you're comfortable sharing, or just like a fun fact? It could be something that's just like fun or deep. However, you know, again, you receive this.
What's a fun confession, babe? My husband just joined. I need a confession. What should I confess? And it could be anything. Huh? Oh, yeah. So I've always had emetophobia since I was a little girl.
I don't even know what that is. No.
It's a fear of vomit.
Okay.
So I myself won't let myself throw up, even though, oh, trust me, I've gotten close. I will refuse.
Do you like swallow it or?
No, I don't know. I just like, yeah, I just somehow power through it. Yeah. I keep it down. I power through it. And I haven't let myself throw up in like over almost 20 years, I want to say.
What about like
a long time?
Well, your kids, have they thrown up?
And then my kids, of course, they puked and like, I don't love it. I get anxious anytime my little baby, but Hendrix says that his tummy hurts, but I'm trying to navigate it because I'm a grown woman. And I think it's time to kick that phobia.
I mean, it is gross. So I don't, it's not irrational.
It's not irrational, but I think it is very, it's deeply rooted in a lot of my past. And like, I have like vivid memories of like how it's made me feel as a little mm-hmm. girl. So mm-hmm. yes, I think I need to either seek therapy for it or like, I'm actually going to look into hypnotherapy for it and see if I can get past it. But I've been taking a lot of really great supplements lately that my nervous system has certainly calmed down. And like, I think towards the end of last year, it seemed like I was going through a lot of like anxious thoughts, like late 2023. And you know, my emetophobia was starting to really spike around that time, around the same time that I was having these kind of like destructive thoughts. And then now since taking a few new supplements, I've definitely noticed a bit more of a calming energy to me in the past month or so. So that's exciting.
That is. We love something that works, a solution.
Yes. Yes. It's been magnesium. I've been taking this Fatty 15, which is like a cell supplement, and like probiotics. I don't know what it is, but something about my new supplement routine has been helping me with my nervous system. I think it's magnesium.
No, that's great. Yeah. Magnesium has like a lot of benefits. Also like for sleep and relaxation and all that.
Yeah. I take it for sleep and then I take it during the day too. I take another different one for daytime.
Yeah. So I know you're currently in Miami, but I wrap it up with a fire round of New York City questions because you are a New Yorker at heart. So you're going to answer it with the first word that comes to your mind.
Okay.
So favorite thing about New York?
Like everything? No, not everything. That's so like, geez. I think the hospitality scene is probably my favorite thing about New York. It's just always bustling, and it's just, we're the best at it.
What's your least favorite thing?
The stimulation.
Okay.
Just how congested it feels, how dirty it can feel sometimes. I think after a while, the novelty wears off when, mm-hmm. when you're an old lady like myself.
If you can describe New York City in one word, what would it be?
Just fierce.
And what's your go-to spot or restaurant or just your favorite place?
Say, I always think of Raoul's when being asked that question. It's just very classic New York, a little debaucherous, mm-hmm. very sexy, swanky, and just like the perfect kind of cast of characters in the room. It's yeah, in Soho, love so, that. Love Soho.
And if you can thank New York City for one thing, what would it be?
For raising me, for giving me grit, for giving me courage, and for making me dream large.
I love that. So now is your chance to plug away. And if you can share any secret projects you're working on or anything that's coming up.
God, I guess it's pretty simple stuff. We're just really working on kind of honing in on what the vision of Chill House is from a product standpoint and even from a retail standpoint. So definitely expect amazing self-care treatments for your home. I really want to take the salon concept and make it so special that you feel like you can recreate those moments for yourself in your own home, in your own bathroom, mm-hmm. tubs, all that good stuff. So that is my mission right now.
Well, we can't wait to see what else you have in store for us thank from you. Chill House. I'm super excited to see the growth and follow the journey. Thank you, Cindy, so much for joining us, even though I'm a little jealous because she's literally just like sunbathing and I'm over here in a freaking turtleneck sweater. We cannot be more
come
opposite.
Come on down.
I know,
come
I do.
The
I
weather is peaking. Listen, Miami, I love it, but I also have my issues with it. It gets really hot here and I'm not used to the heat. So this is like perfect. This is, if Miami were this year round, I would have zero notes.
So thank you so much for joining me and my audience. For those watching, thank you. Be sure to look at the show notes for more information on Cindy and Chill House. And with that being said, I hope you all have a beautiful day and week, and I'll see you all next week. Bye.
Thank you so much. Bye.